You're listening to Hidden Gems on CJLO 1690 AM. I am your host, Jean-Philippe. Thank you for tuning in today. We got a great show for you today. I will be including a song from the soundtrack of the Rocky Horror Picture Show because I got to interview the producer, the stage producer of Montreal's Rocky Horror Picture Show Halloween Ball, and that is coming later during the show. I'm really excited about it. I will start off the show today with a song by a French artist called Le Nepsi, and then I will be leading on to music from New Brunswick, and of course, Rayana from Manitoba. So let's start off the hour with Aveugle by Le Nepsi. You're listening to Hidden Gems on CJLO 1690 AM.
Qui forme des secousses, elle cogne les parois comme pour crier fort au secours. Attiré par un train qui prend la mauvaise direction, absorbé par des lèvres qui ont le rouge de mille lions. Petit, quand on tombait, on avait mal et parfois peur. Tout ça n'a pas changé quand il est tard, comme à 3 heures. Quand l'été ne finit pas, l'hiver m'appelle de sa froideur, comme la table d'un café à laquelle je m'assois seul. Et derrière ses yeux se cache le bleu des nuits qui nous éloigne. Quand on se touchera, il n'y aura plus rien entre les mois. Je flânerai des rues qui sont pavées de nos brefs échanges, en espérant recroiser soit toi, soit ton rêve étrange. M'éloigner comme la marée basse, ça je sais le faire. Est-ce que l'on se reverra pour se ramener de l'air? Chaque train qui passe, chaque matin qui s'élève, vient me rappeler qu'un jour tout s'en va. Je ne trouve plus grand chose dans les regards que je croise, comme si j'étais devenu aveugle après toi. Chaque train qui passe, chaque matin qui s'élève, vient me rappeler qu'un jour tout s'en va. Je ne trouve plus grand chose dans les regards que je croise, comme si j'étais devenu. La joie bouscule ma peine quand je suis sur le quai des gares, et qu'enfin je m'éterne à l'intervalle qui nous sépare. Je marcherai droit vers toi même si mes sentiments titubent. Comment ton regard a-t-il pu renverser mes incertitudes, révéler mes pensées les plus souterraines et sincères? Voilà une idée qui m'effraie, qui à la fois m'envoûte. Ce qui m'envoûte, c'est qu'une personne puisse les entendre sur terre. Ce qui m'effraie, c'est tout ce qui sépare cette personne de ma route. Derrière ses yeux se cache le noir des nuits qui nous éloignent. Quand on se touchera, il n'y aura plus rien entre les mois. En attendant qu'on se dévoile nos peurs et nos névroses, mes bras s'enroulent comme des voiles et viennent habiller tes épaules. M'éloigner comme la marée basse, ça je sais le faire. Est-ce que l'on se reverra pour se ramener de l'air? Chaque train qui passe, chaque matin qui s'élève, vient me rappeler qu'un jour tout s'en va. Je ne trouve plus grand chose dans les regards que je croise, comme si j'étais devenu aveugle après toi. Chaque train qui passe, chaque matin qui s'élève, vient me rappeler qu'un jour tout s'en va. Je ne trouve plus grand chose dans les regards que je croise, comme si j'étais devenu aveugle après toi. Chaque train qui passe, chaque matin qui s'élève, vient me rappeler qu'un jour tout s'en va. Je ne trouve plus grand chose dans les regards que je croise, comme si j'étais devenu aveugle après toi.
Thank you.
You're listening to Hidden Gems on CJLO.
I'm tired of going through the personal space of my future self. Let's find a place haunted by urban memories. Let's make ours for a while. It's not as bad as I make it. It's not as bad as I see it. It's home wherever you are.
You are listening to Hidden Gems on CJLO 1690 AM. I am your host, JP. Thank you for tuning in. Before the break, you were listening to Frilou by Foreign Diplomats. I'm really excited. I interviewed Elie and Shal today, two members of the band, and I will be featuring our interview on next week's show. And then before that, we were playing Radzir by Olafur Arnalds and Aveugle by Lonepsi. Now, on to something else. Rocky Horror Montreal is presenting the Halloween Ball again this year. The event is hosted by Trana Wintour, a trans writer and comedian in the city. I sat down with producer and founder of Le Ciné Club, Philip Spurrell, to talk about this year's installment of Rocky Horror Picture Show.
So why did you decide to produce this show 2 decades ago?
So what happened was, it was actually dropped on my lap. The story goes, in 1998, in September of that year, the Rialto Theater had been running it at Halloween several years in a row. It was very popular, packing the house. There was a shadow cast, as they're called, a troupe, that accompanies the film at the time. And the Rialto Theater then had closed as a rep cinema. So there was the possibility that there was not going to be a Rocky Horror Picture Show at Halloween. So the cast at the time, the shadow cast at the time, I think they numbered maybe less than a dozen people, they were in a kind of a panic. They knew that I was a producer of film-related events, so they just proposed it to me as an independent producer to take it somewhere and put it on for Halloween. Oddly enough, I had never actually seen the Rocky Horror Picture Show, so I was like a Rocky virgin from the get-go. So I booked the Cinéma Impérial, and it was a great success that Halloween, and I've continued ever since. So it was something that was brought to me, looked interesting, and I've had a lot of fun with it ever since.
How has the show's production changed since you started 20 years ago?
Well, I pretty much do what I've been doing since the beginning as a producer, promoter. If anyone's been following it, the poster art is pretty much the same. Some of the ways we advertise it has evolved, with social media and so on. But I attribute the changes to the cast, which is its own thing. I mean, we have a great rapport, and it's the cast that has taken it in more, let's say, ambitious directions in terms of what they do on stage. We began with a ragtag team of less than 12 people, probably no set pieces, a minimum number of props, and now it just evolved into what is now, I think there's about 40 something members of the cast and crew. And there's now, I don't know how many props, it's probably hundreds of props and elaborate set pieces now. Of the last 10 years, we've done what they call a mashup, a pre-show mashup, which is this elaborate choreographed dance number just to get the audience warmed up. And then there's the costume contest, which has been there since the beginning. So I would say it's evolved just in, through the ambitions and interest of the cast to just up it every year. One year we had somebody come in, who was a master costumier, and he oversaw the creation of all new costumes for everybody that were really identical to what you see on screen. So the costumes we have now are like, you're looking at the shadow cast and what they're wearing, and then you're looking at the screen and it is like identical, down to where the sequins are placed on vests for the Columbia character, like to that degree. So that's upped it. The last 3-4 years we've had a professional makeup crew backstage that volunteer their time just to, so the production value's kind of gone up that way, but I attribute that mostly to the cast and their ambitions and wanting to look as great as they can.
Yeah. What's the new ambition of the cast this year?
The new ambition of the cast? It's interesting, and this is something that I actually imposed because I just felt that, just for me, it was just becoming a little bit too much. We're actually downsized the cast, or the goal is to downsize by 2021. From like 40 something to maybe 30 something people, which is still a lot of people for something like that. But I would say one of the interesting things that came out in the last year was the idea of conveying, like, the way that we communicate internally and just the message to the audience is more gender neutrality, and the idea of the need to create more safe spaces for transgender people. So if there's one thing that stands out in the last year in terms of where we've taken it and where, you know, the cast wants to go with it, and that's conveyed in some of the things that our hostess Trana Winter would be saying to the audience pre-show, some of the text that's projected on the screen before the show, and probably some of the callback lines will sort of incorporate that idea of, you know, because admittedly there's some controversy around, like, some members of the transgender community. They feel that just using the term transsexual, it's problematic, but we've addressed it. We've actually gone through a kind of an information session with an sort of activist member of the community who's actually part of our group as well. And that person enlightened us about, you know, the realities of that community and so on. So,
yeah, because I knew things blew up right in 2017 about a lot of critics came out. Yeah. Even Laverne Cox got, criticized for it. How did you guys react immediately?
Well, it made for a lot of introspection, and there was some division, because there's always the there's always that pull, that conflict, whatever you want to call it, of tradition, which is a really important thing, you know, with Rocky Horror Picture Show, and modern realities. So the idea or the solution is just to acknowledge that the film is problematic in some areas, and acknowledging it and then pointing people in to a certain direction where such things can be addressed. Just one example is one of the slides we have that are going to be projected. We started doing this last year. It's just like help groups that people can contact, or groups where people can find out more information if they want to learn a little bit more about, you know, the community. So it involved, a lot of introspection, but I think now everybody feels more comfortable, because there were people, we do have some members of the transgender community in the troupe, not to mention Trana Winter, who's no less than the hostess of the event. So it was a little bit tricky, but we feel that, or we hope that this year, with our gestures and our acknowledgement, that it'll kind of smoothen things out. And one thing that was universally understood was that the positives outweigh the negatives for what it's done for the community and for individuals over the years. Going back to, let's say, 1975. And as a producer, for me, that's a really important part of it, is the role that it plays. And we all believe that it's a safe space. You can basically do what you want at the event itself, you know, express yourself how you want. Mm-hmm. So I think it was, the consensus is that amongst the whole team, is that the goods far outweigh the negatives.
Yeah. So Rocky's played by Heidi, I believe, this year?
Heidi Rubin, and she's been there a while, and every year she threatens to, oh, I think this will be my last year. I think she says that just to see our reaction. But she's so amazing at it. And so we're happy that she's back. She embraces it. She takes it very seriously. She does extra training for it. She gets in the zone and she kills it. She's amazing. And it's really important for any shadow cast that accompanies the film to have a really strong Frank character, because everything else follows, right? And the audience wants to, because the character doesn't appear until several minutes into the film, and it's one of the most famous or iconic introductions of a character in film history, like them coming down the elevator, the close-ups of the pumps, and then, you know, Susan Sarandon as Janet fainting, that whole thing. So, and then of course, where the audience just screams is when Frankenfurter whips off their cape, and then the song, you know, takes off a little bit more from there.
Why do you think the show has kept its relevance after so many years? Because it's been a while, right?
It's been a while. I've thought about it, and I... Because the thing that I like to say, and it's just a fact, and I know this from the statistics from 20th Century Fox, who owns the film, they tell me every year, it's the most popular attendance. It's the biggest attendance of any city in North America during Halloween. And we kind of take it for granted. We say, oh yeah, it's a big thing here, but it's not as big in other cities, like let's say New York or Los Angeles or other North American cities where you expect it might be really, really big, like Toronto, for example, cities with larger populations. Montreal, I just think it's a sexy city. One term that we used years ago is we defined Montreal as the G-spot of North America, right? So, yeah, to me, even as a producer whose job it is to focus on, like, okay, so why is that working? Why is that, and why is that not working? And so on, I'm still a bit wondering, like, why Montreal? Like, why, you know, is it just huge here compared to other cities?
I'm not sure. I know Ottawa has, like, a really good show as well.
They have a really good show as well, but I think... So just to explain the difference between the Montreal show, since I took it over 21 years ago, so there are cities, when it began, it was a weekly thing in many North American cities, then it became a monthly thing, and by the time the late 90s rolled around, it was mostly monthly or every other month. But since I took it over, I decided, just because of the effort involved in putting it on, it's a once-a-year thing, but a gigantic once-a-year thing. Whereas, let's say a place like Ottawa, like the Mayfair, might screen it, I don't know, once a month or whenever they do it, but they're kind of stretching out the audience. They might have similar numbers, but they're more kind of stretched out over time. And I know that I've been to the New York, Paris, and LA presentations where they have smaller audiences, very enthusiastic audiences, but maybe that partly explains why it's so big here in Montreal, is the fact that it's just once a year, and people know that if I don't go see it now, I'm going to have to wait another year. So, yeah.
Another question I have is, I found it interesting that 75% of people fall in the realm of like 18 to 25 years old.
I would say so, yeah.
Why do you think, like, I guess approximately at 25 people stop going as much?
Well,
like, what do you think it is?
Okay, so there are two show times. This is what I've observed. And believe me, one of the things I do look at, probably more than what's going on stage, is I want to see, like, so who is the audience, really? Like, who does this cater to? Or who should I, you know, market to, and so on? There's a 7:30 crowd, and then there's an 11 o'clock crowd. 11 o'clock crowd tends to be wilder, maybe more students. I remember when I was a teenager, Rocky Horror was like a rite of passage thing, like you had to go. The way that one would be de-virginized in conventional sense, people are enticed, oh, this crazy thing, I heard about it. So it's kind of become a rite of passage. And I think that's when that happens, like, you know, just out of high school or college age, university age. And I don't know, I just think it appeals in that it's like this big, crazy, loud party where people get to throw stuff around. Now, that being said, so the difference between the 11 o'clock and the 7:30, the 7:30, you're more likely to see older fans. Now, consider that the fans, the original fans, go back to 1975, 70s, 80s, 90s. So there was a time that I observed where parents would take the kids... Right, they would take their kid, their teenage kids or whatever, sometimes younger. And now I'm seeing grandparents take their teenage grandkids to it. So it's not uncommon for the 7:30 show, especially, to see seniors in significant numbers there. So, but I think it's one of those things. You're growing up, you know, maybe going through high school, whatever. You hear about it, so oh, that's time to go check this thing out. So I think it's largely a rite of passage, and again, it's because of what it is, like a big party. That's the age group mm-hmm. that it appeals to. So,
and do you see that continuing on, like for the generations?
I see that continuing on. It's one of those things that one thing I've learned is you can describe it to people verbally. You can like, and it just sounds ridiculous, and people just snicker, they laugh, they go, "What? What are you talking about?" Like, wait, is it a movie? Is it a play? Is it? No, there's a shadow cast, which I've learned to define as for people that just to help them understand. I say think of cosplay because it is a form of cosplay. Because no one's actually talking or singing, you know, they're doing the dance, they're moving in perfect sync to what's going on. So for me, that's a kind of cosplay. You're dressing up, you're acting like characters up on screen. So is it a movie? Is it a theatrical experience? And then there's the interactive thing, and you say, oh yeah, people throw stuff around. And you say, like what? Toast, which sounds absurd. Like, why would you throw toast in a movie theater? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Toilet paper, maybe, because it sounds like fun, you know. Water pistols, okay, what's the point of that? Oh, to create rain, why would you want it to rain? That sounds unpleasant. Oh, but you've got your newspaper to cover your head. You know, there's all these things that that people sort of interact with. But, and I know this from friends that haven't been previously, and then they finally go, and they go, okay, I get it now. I see why. Like, you have to be there to just get it. Because it just... on paper or describing it verbally, it just sounds maybe like, not a good time.
Like a joke.
Like a joke, yeah.
Yeah.
And I know sometimes when I get, if we get a new security person where they have to, you know, frisk people for stuff that, you know, and I tell them the things to look for and they're sort of laughing. And I said, no, I'm being serious. If you see somebody with an untoasted loaf of bread, that needs to be confiscated because it has to be toast. Because otherwise, when the untoasted bread mixes with water, then it becomes slippery, dangerous. Venues tend to not allow the rice anymore because it's just such a nightmare to clean up. But still, people have a lot of fun.
Tickets are still on sale. If you want more information, you can go to the official website of the show at rockyhorrormontreal.com to get showtimes and dates. Tickets are still available at the door. Spiral said that as well, if you want to know more about the show, you really need to go see it for yourself to truly get what the show is all about. In honor of Rocky Horror, I will play Superheroes from the Rocky soundtrack. You are listening to Hidden Gems on CJLO 1690 AM.
I've tried to find the truth. I've even lied, but all I know is down inside I'm we'll be right back.
and crawling on the planet's face. Some insects called the human race, lost in time and lost in space and meaning.
Quand tu tiens mon cœur dans ta main, mon seul besoin d'être bien quand tu tiens mon cœur dans ta main.
You're listening to Hidden Gems on CJLO.
Well, mon build de hydro, y'a pas pay-up, ça implique sky high, cher comme les jobs, ça me prendra mon trip, and no other way, à faire de l'argent pour la forêt, come on! Oh. J'ai pris à penser, peut-être que je suis méchant, que je pourrais remplir mon account, en vendant de la grass, here and there, faire pousser ça, puis vendre pas trop cher, bye!
Another way I felt love's on pour la forêt. J'ai pris à penser le touchstream and joint que je pourrais remplir mon account en vendant de la grâce here and there. I boost it so we bought a poker chip. Come on!
You're listening to Hidden Gems on CJLO 1690 AM. I am your host, Jean Fede. Thank you for tuning in. Before the break, you were listening to Superheroes by the Rocky Horror Picture Show soundtrack. After that was La Première Fois by Canon, a band from Sudbury, Ontario, and Bill de Hydro by Manon Jason. Now we will continue with more music from New Brunswick. That's where Manon Jason is from, the southeastern portion of New Brunswick. We are going to include a song by Lisa Demla, someone that I very much love. And this song is called 5,748 Kilometers, and it's a song that she wrote about someone she fell in love with that lives in Vancouver, which is 5,748 kilometers from New Brunswick. It's pretty damn far. All right, so let's play it. Hidden Gems, CJLO.
Straight, you're in Vancouver and I'm in New Brunswick. That makes 5,748 kilometers. We're talking two different oceans, four time zones apart, 7-hour plane ride plus connections. A 6-day drive, if you don't stop to pee too much, it's probably the dumbest idea that I've ever had. I really do. That's a lot of writing about your day and sending letters by pigeon. That's a lot of I miss you's and I wish you were here's. A lot of X's on the calendar and X's for kisses. A life of hellos and a life of goodbyes. It's probably the dumbest idea that I've ever had, but I love you. yes, I really do. Try to enjoy it without thinking too much. I don't know, just go with the flow. It's probably the dumbest idea that I've ever had, but I love you, yes I really do. So let's get this straight. You're in Vancouver and I'm in New Brunswick. That makes 5,748 kilometers. We're talking two different oceans, four time zones apart, a 7-hour plane ride plus connections, a 6-day drive. If you don't stop to pee too much, it's probably the dumbest idea that I've ever had, but I love you, yes I really do. Well, I love you, yes I really do. Well, I love you, yes I really do.
Tellement que j'en ai brisé mon corps. J'ai voulu l'effacer, et je n'ai fait qu'y laisser des entailles.
You're listening to Hidden Gems on CJLO 1690 AM. I'm your host, JP. Thank you for tuning in for the hour. And that was it for the show today. Thank you so much for being here and listening. If you have any suggestions for Hidden Gems or Hidden Jams, you can head on to CJLO.com and you can find my show, Hidden Gems. And then you can find my email address and you can send me songs that you like that you believe should be showcased on the show. You can come back next Thursday at 3 p.m. and I'll be right here. We will finish the hour with En attendant demain by Rayana. Thank you so much for tuning in. Have a good day.
La sonnerie se réveille soudain pour venir accompagner le bruit des enfants, des voisins qui crient leur impunité, qui crient le fabuleux destin d'une vie à peine commencée.